Welcome to the deep dive. We've got some really interesting stuff to dig into today, all about self-improvement.
Yeah, looks like someone's ready to level up their life.
Totally. And they've given us transformyourlife.pdf to work with, which, let me tell you, is packed with tips.
It's not just surface level stuff either. This goes deep, like into the neuroscience of motivation and discipline.
Yeah, it's not just about like thinking positive thoughts, right? It gets into the biology of why we do what we do.
Totally. Like, have you ever noticed how when you're stressed or hungry, it's almost impossible to focus?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, my brain just goes completely blank.
Well, it's not just you. The Source talks about this thing called the salience network in our brains. It's basically like our attention filter.
Okay, so it decides what we pay attention to.
Exactly. And just like, you know, our ancestors were wired to focus on a lion hiding in the bushes.
Makes sense. Survival and all that.
Right. Our brains today are still on high alert, but instead of lions, it's like that pile of laundry we've been ignoring.
Yeah.
Or those emails piling up.
Oh, man, I feel seen. So how do we, like, declutter our minds to actually get that focus back? The Source talks about creating a distraction-free environment, but that feels kind of oversimplified, right?
Totally. It's more nuanced than that. There are some really cool specific tips in here. Like, remember that thing about the WordPress founder?
Wait, remind me.
He uses, like, familiar music on repeat to create this sensory deprivation effect. Basically blocks out all the distracting sounds.
Huh, interesting. So it's like blocking out the noise with more familiar noise. But wouldn't you go crazy listening to the same song for hours?
Maybe. But hey, if it works. The Source also mentions things like widescreen monitors to help minimize visual distractions.
Oh, so it's like giving your brain a visual diet too. Less to process, more focus.
Exactly. But okay, say you've got the perfect environment, no distractions, but you're still not motivated to actually do the task.
Yeah, all the time. Like, I know I should be doing it, but my brain is just, nope.
It's because our brains aren't always wired to find every task inherently rewarding. Like, think about it. Organizing files, paying bills.
Yeah, exactly. Thrilling stuff.
Right. Our brains are still kind of driven by those primal instincts, you know, focused on survival.
So boring tasks don't exactly scream survival to our brains.
Exactly. So the Source talks about this idea of using visualization to basically connect those mundane tasks to our bigger goals.
Oh, I actually used to be really skeptical about visualization, but then I started using it to overcome my fear of public speaking. Like, I'd picture myself giving the speech totally confident, nailing it, and it actually helped.
That's awesome. And that's exactly what the Source is talking about. It's like, instead of seeing data entry as this tedious chore, you visualize how it's contributing to, say, a successful project launch or even a promotion down the line.
So you're basically like tricking your brain into thinking that boring task is actually exciting because it's connected to something you really want.
Exactly. You're hacking your brain's reward system.
I like it. And the Source also mentions minimizing interruptions, right? Like phone on silent, all that.
It's all about setting yourself up for success.
Right.
Optimizing that environment. But even with all that, sometimes procrastination still wins.
Oh, tell me about it. Netflix over that to-do list every time. But I feel like the Source is saying it's not just laziness, right? It's often about a lack of discipline.
Exactly. And the Source makes this really good point. Discipline is like a muscle. You have to train it.
Oh, so it's not like some magical quality you either have or you don't.
Right. And sometimes it's not even about willpower, but deeper stuff, like feeling overwhelmed or just like totally lacking energy.
So true. So next time I'm avoiding a task, gotta ask myself, is it really lack of time or is there something else going on?
Exactly. And you know what's cool? The Source talks about this idea of incidental training, like using everyday moments to practice discipline instead of waiting for these like big willpower tests.
Okay, give me an example.
So instead of scrolling through social media while you're waiting in line, try focusing on your surroundings or starting a conversation. You know, just little things to build that muscle.
Okay. I'm not sure I'm ready to give up my mindless scrolling just yet. But the Source also talks about some pretty intense stuff, right? Like cold showers and that whole nofap thing.
Yeah, those are definitely more intense. But the idea is like overcoming discomfort to strengthen willpower. Cold showers are a classic example. And the nofap movement, which, full disclosure, is not for everyone, is about reclaiming control from instant gratification.
Maybe baby steps are key here. Start by, I don't know, resisting that second cookie before jumping into a freezing cold shower. But it's interesting how this all ties back to the power of habits.
Yeah, habits are where the rubber really meets the road, right? Mm. How do we turn those like small acts of discipline into automatic behaviors.
Exactly. Because I'm all for making positive choices, but if I have to think about it every single time,
it's exhausting. And that's where understanding our brains comes in. The source does a great job explaining how repeated actions literally strengthen neural pathways.
So it becomes like a mental shortcut for your brain.
Right, like building a well-worn path. So if you can rewire your brain to, say, crave a morning run instead of hitting snooze.
Oh, man, that's the dream. So it's actually possible to, like, reprogram yourself to do the things you want to do.
That's what the source is suggesting. And there are, like, practical tips for harnessing this power. Things like the 30-day rule and using micro habits. Remember that example about flossing just one tooth a night?
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. So trick your brain into accepting the new behavior, then gradually expand on it. Small steps, big results. But it sounds like the source isn't just advocating for, like, individual habit changes. It's about having a whole routine, right?
Absolutely. Because even with good habits, sometimes, you know, you just get decision fatigue and end up
on the couch with Netflix. Right. So having that routine, knowing exactly when and where you'll do a task, it minimizes those excuses. Like, if you always meditate for 10 minutes right after your coffee, it becomes less of a choice and more of, like, just part of your day.
So the more you automate those positive habits, the less mental energy you waste on, like, making decisions and fighting procrastination.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've covered a lot here. Understanding how our brains focus, hacking motivation, building discipline through habits and routines. It's like we're creating a blueprint for a, like, more productive and fulfilling life. But what I really like about this source is that it doesn't just stop at, like, optimizing our actions. It gets into that bigger picture stuff, you know, the search for meaning.
And that's where things get really interesting. Yeah. Because it's one thing to be efficient and disciplined, but if you don't have a sense of purpose,
it can feel a bit empty, right? Like, what's it all for?
Exactly. And the source digs into Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you know, that pyramid of human needs. But it points out that while things like relationships and career are important, they don't always address that top-level self-actualization.
So it's not just about, like, checking things off your to-do list. It's about connecting those actions to something bigger, something that gives your life meaning.
Totally. Like, think about it, cleaning your house because you have to versus cleaning it because you're hosting a dinner party for friends.
Yeah.
The actions are the same, but the feeling behind it.
Completely different. One is a chore. The other is, like, an act of love.
Exactly. And speaking of stories, the source brings up this idea of the monomyth, or the hero's journey, to illustrate this.
Oh, I love those stories, like Star Wars, Harry Potter, all those classic tales where the hero leaves their ordinary world, faces challenges, and emerges transformed.
Right. And the source suggests that our own lives can follow a similar pattern, like maybe going back to school for a career change.
Or finally taking that solo trip you've always dreamed of.
Exactly. Those could be seen as leaving your ordinary world, right? And even facing everyday challenges at work.
Dealing with difficult people, pushing through creative blocks.
Those could be part of our own hero's journey, especially when we use those experiences to learn and grow. But there's this really interesting concept that the source calls the evolutionary shadow.
Okay, what's that?
It's the idea that while we're wired for growth and challenge, modern life can kind of lead to this feeling of stagnation, even after we've achieved, like, basic stability. Like, we reach that happily ever after stage, but
our brains and spirits still crave more.
Exactly. We're designed to keep leveling up, so sometimes we get stuck in a routine and forget to keep pushing ourselves.
Wow, that makes you think. Are you still on that journey of growth and discovery, or have you settled into a comfortable routine that might be holding you back? It's a good question to ask ourselves, for sure.
It is. And the source really encourages finding activities that challenge you, whether it's a demanding career, a creative pursuit, even just giving back to your community. It's about identifying what truly lights you up and going for it, even if it seems a little scary.
And speaking of scary, let's talk about fear. Because let's be real. Anytime you're trying to do something meaningful, step outside your comfort zone.
Fear is going to show up.
Oh, yeah. Guaranteed. But the source doesn't shy away from it, does it? It presents fear as, like, a natural part of growth.
Totally. It even talks about how the samurai used to visualize death to conquer fear.
Okay, that's a bit intense, but I get the idea. It's about accepting that fear is a part of the process and not letting it stop you.
Exactly. And remember that Tim Ferriss fear-setting technique we talked about?
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. Write down your worst-case scenarios. Figure out how likely they are to happen.
And even come up with backup plans. It really takes the power away from those anxieties.
It's like taking control of the narrative instead of letting fear control you. And the source also talks about desensitization, right? Like purposely exposing yourself to the things you fear to, like...
diminish their power.
Right. Like that example of giving a bad speech on purpose to get over stage fright.
It sounds crazy, but it kind of makes sense. By experiencing the worst case scenario, you prove to yourself that it's not as terrifying as your mind makes it out to be.
It's like ripping off the Band-Aid. It might be uncomfortable, but the more you do it, the less power those fears hold. Okay, so we've talked about finding meaning, facing our fears. What about self-confidence? The source really emphasizes how important that is for, like, everything.
Yeah, it's like the secret ingredient that can make everything better. But what I appreciate is that it doesn't just focus on that, like, surface-level external confidence,
mm-hmm.
you know, based on looks or achievements.
It's about building that deep inner confidence.
Exactly. The kind that comes from self-acceptance and knowing your values.
You know, I used to think confidence was all about, like, looking a certain way or having a certain job title. But I realized the most confident people are the ones who genuinely like themselves, you know? They're not seeking validation from others. It's like they have this inner light that shines through no matter what.
I love that.
Yeah.
And the source encourages us to cultivate both types of confidence. Like, yeah, invest in self-care and your style, but also focus on personal growth and really getting to know yourself.
So it's not about fitting into some external mold of what confidence should look like. It's about embracing your own unique strengths and, yeah, even your quirks.
Exactly. And remember that say the I principle we talked about.
Yeah.
Specific adaptations to imposed demands.
Oh, right. So it's about pushing yourself to do those things that feel a little uncomfortable, like right. joining a public speaking group or taking that dance class you've always wanted to try.
Exactly. Prove to yourself that you're capable of more than you think.
Okay, let's shift gears a bit and talk about something that's like absolutely crucial, taking care of your physical and mental health. Because the source really emphasizes that self-improvement isn't just about mindset. It's about having the energy and vitality to actually do all this stuff.
It's like, you can have all the best apps and features on your phone, but if the battery is dead,
it's useless.
Exactly. And when it comes to physical health, the source really challenges us to rethink our relationship with food. It's not just about calories. It's about understanding that food is information. Like literally the building blocks for our bodies and brains.
So instead of asking how many calories does this have, it's more like, what nutrients does this provide? How will this food make me feel?
Exactly. It's about making choices that nourish your body from the inside out. And while getting those nutrients from our diet is ideal, the source also acknowledges that, like with our modern lifestyles, many of us are falling short in certain areas.
So true. Like, who has time to cook perfectly balanced meals every single day?
Right. So it suggests looking into things like multivitamins or incorporating superfoods into your routine. Have you ever tried, like, spirulina or maca powder in your smoothies?
I've dabbled in the superfood world.
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels a bit overwhelming, all the options.
Oh, I know. But it makes sense that we might need a little extra support to get all those essential vitamins and minerals.
For sure. And of course, we can't talk about health without talking about exercise. But I like how the source emphasizes finding activities you actually enjoy and making them a regular part of your life. It shouldn't be about punishment. It should be about feeling good.
Totally. It's about moving your body in ways that bring you joy. And, you know, the source even debunks that myth about women accidentally getting bulky from
right.
strength training.
And thank goodness, because lifting weights shouldn't just be for guys who want to get huge.
Exactly. It's about building strength and feeling good in your body. And it's not just about those dedicated workout sessions either. The source encourages finding ways to move more throughout the day, like taking the stairs or parking farther away from the store.
It all adds up. And you know what else I appreciate? The source talks about being patient with yourself, emphasizing the Japanese concept of Kaizen, which is all about small, continuous improvements.
It's a much healthier and sustainable approach than trying to overhaul your entire life overnight.
Totally. Okay, so we've covered taking care of our physical health. Now, let's dive into the world of mental well-being. Because even if you have, like, the perfect diet and exercise routine.
If your mind is a mess, it's going to impact everything.
Right. Remember that analogy we talked about before about the caravan?
Oh, yeah. Where the same event can be perceived as an exciting adventure or a terrifying ordeal, depending on your mindset.
Exactly. So it's not about denying reality, but realizing that our thoughts have a huge impact on how we feel and react.
And the source is a huge advocate for things like CBT or cognitive behavioral therapy, and mindfulness to help us manage our thoughts and emotions more effectively.
So it's about like taking control of that inner critic and learning to reframe those negative thoughts. I've actually been trying out that body scan meditation that the source mentions. It's amazing how much tension you hold in your body without even realizing it.
It's a great technique for bringing awareness to the present moment and calming those racing thoughts. And it's not just about meditation either. The source talks about finding healthy ways to manage stress in general, whether it's through exercise, spending time in nature, or pursuing creative outlets.
Right, because stress is a part of life, but it's how we manage it that determines its impact on our well-being. It's about finding those things that help you unwind and recharge so you can show up as your best self.
Exactly. And speaking of recharging, let's not forget about sleep. The source stresses that adequate rest is crucial for both our physical and mental health. It's not just about how many hours you sleep, but the quality of that sleep.
It's like hitting the reset button for your body and mind. And when you're well rested, you have more energy, focus, and emotional resilience to tackle whatever life throws your way. So we've covered a lot in this first part of our deep dive, from understanding how our brains work to building positive habits and taking care of our physical and mental health. It's like we're laying the foundation for a truly transformative life.
We've explored a lot of the tools and strategies, but now it's time to delve into the heart of it all. Finding that deeper sense of meaning and purpose.
Because when our lives feel meaningful, we have that driving force that keeps us going, even when things get tough. So in the next part of our deep dive, we'll explore how this source guides us towards uncovering that sense of purpose. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the deep dive. As we continue to explore transformyourlife.pdf, let's get into this idea of finding deeper meaning. It's something, you know, a lot of people struggle with, and this source has some really interesting takes on it.
Yeah, it's like you can have all the productivity hacks and self-improvement strategies in the world, but without that sense of purpose, it's kind of like, what's the point?
Exactly. And the source starts by revisiting Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you know, that pyramid of human needs.
Oh, yeah. I remember learning about that in like Psych 101.
Right. So it highlights how things like relationships, a fulfilling career, those are all important. But they don't always address that very top-level self-actualization.
Which is all about reaching your full potential, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, what does that actually look like in real life? It sounds great in theory, but how do we actually, you know, make it happen?
Well, the source uses this really cool analogy, the monomyth, or the hero's journey.
Oh, like Star Wars, Lord of the Rings.
Exactly. Those classic stories where the hero leaves their ordinary world, faces challenges, and emerges, like, totally transformed.
I love those stories. So, are you saying, like, quitting your job to start a business or finally writing that novel you've always dreamed of, those could be considered leaving your ordinary world.
Totally. And even those everyday challenges like dealing with a difficult coworker or pushing through a creative block, those can be seen as those trials and temptations the hero faces.
So it's about finding those opportunities for growth in our own lives, using those experiences to like learn and evolve.
Exactly. But there's also this interesting idea the source calls the evolutionary shadow.
Okay, I haven't heard of that one. What's that all about?
It's this idea that while we're, you know, biologically wired for growth and challenge, modern life can sometimes lead to this feeling of stagnation.
Mm-mm.
Even after we've achieved, you know, some level of stability and comfort, like we hit that happily ever after stage, but
something's still missing.
Right. Our brains and our spirits, they're still craving that sense of purpose and progress.
That makes sense. It's like that feeling of restlessness you get sometimes, even when things seem good on the surface. Like, there's got to be more.
Totally. And the source really encourages us to actively seek out activities that challenge us, whether it's a demanding career, some kind of creative pursuit, or finding ways to, you know, contribute to our community. It's about identifying those things that really light you up and pursuing them, even if it feels a little scary at first.
And speaking of scary, let's talk about fear. Because
yeah.
Anytime you're trying to achieve something meaningful, step outside that comfort zone.
Fear's gonna be there.
Oh yeah, for sure. But the source doesn't shy away from fear, does it? It actually embraces it as like a natural part of growth.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It even mentions how like the samurai used to visualize death to conquer their fear.
Okay, that's intense. But I get what they're saying. It's about accepting that fear is going to be there and not letting it paralyze you. Remember that Tim Ferriss fear setting technique?
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
Write down your worst case scenarios, figure out how likely they actually are.
And come up with a plan.
It's about taking control. instead of letting fear control you. And the source also mentions desensitization, right? Like purposely exposing yourself to the thing you fear to, like
take away its power.
Right. Like giving a bad speech on purpose to get over stage fright.
Sounds kind of crazy, but it actually makes sense. You experience the worst case scenario and realize, hey, it's not as bad as I thought.
It's like getting comfortable with the uncomfortable. Okay, so we've talked about finding meaning, facing our fears. What about confidence? Where does that fit into all of this?
Well, the source really emphasizes that true confidence isn't about, like, arrogance or being cocky. It's about that deep inner knowing that you're capable and worthy, regardless of what's happening around you.
Right. I think there's a big difference between, like, that surface-level confidence you get from achievements or external validation and that genuine inner confidence that just, like, radiates from within.
Yeah. Like you can meet someone who's super successful and accomplished, but they still seem insecure.
Totally.
True confidence is about self-acceptance, knowing your values, and just being comfortable being you.
I like that. And how do we actually cultivate that kind of confidence?
Well, the source suggests starting with self-awareness. It's about taking some time to reflect on your strengths, your weaknesses, you know, what you really want in life.
It's like that saying, know thyself.
Exactly. The more you understand yourself, the more solid that foundation of self-confidence becomes. But self-awareness alone isn't enough. We also have to take action.
So it's about putting yourself out there, trying new things.
Exactly. Challenging yourself, proving to yourself that you can handle challenges and achieve goals.
Which ties back to that said principle we talked about earlier.
Right.
Specific adaptations to imposed demands.
Exactly. The more we push ourselves, the more confident we become. And the source also highlights the importance of challenging those negative thoughts. You know, those self-critical voices in our heads.
Oh, tell me about it. It's like having a negative roommate who's constantly putting you down.
Right. You have to learn to stand up to that inner critic and replace those negative thoughts with, like, more positive and empowering beliefs.
Easier said than done sometimes, but yeah, it's so important.
It is. And the source also talks about aligning your goals with your values, you know, your overall sense of purpose. When your goals are rooted in something deeper, they become so much more meaningful and motivating.
It's like the difference between, say, setting a goal to lose weight because you want to fit into a certain dress versus setting a goal to get healthy because you value taking care of your body.
Exactly. When your goals are connected to your values, it creates this like sense of purpose and direction that can really fuel your motivation.
Okay, so we've covered a lot in this section, from finding meaning and facing our fears to building confidence and aligning our goals. It's clear that this source is all about like taking control and creating a life that feels both fulfilling and meaningful.
And in the next part of our deep dive, we'll explore how the source guides us toward actually achieving those goals, creating that lasting transformation.
Welcome back to the deep dive. As we wrap up this deep dive into transformyourlife.pdf, I'm really struck by how this source ties everything together, you know? Mindset, habits, finding meaning, taking care of yourself. It's like a blueprint for creating a life that's not just like successful, but truly fulfilling.
I totally agree. And one of the big takeaways for me is this idea of taking control. Like becoming the architect of your own life, making those choices that align with your values.
Right. We've talked about taking control of our attention, our habits, even our fears. But there's one area that I think is like super powerful, and that's our brains. It's easy to think of our brains as like fixed, but this source really highlights how adaptable they are.
That adaptability or plasticity is what makes real change possible. We touched on this with that neurons that fire together, wire together thing.
Oh, yeah. I love that concept.
But it's worth repeating because it's so fundamental to understanding how we can actually rewire our brains for, you know, happiness, resilience, all that good stuff.
So we're not just stuck with the brain we were born with. We can actually change it.
That's what the source is saying. And it gives some pretty fascinating techniques for doing just that. One that stands out is like controlling our neurotransmitter production through conscious effort.
Wait, so you're saying we can influence the chemicals in our brains just by, like, thinking certain thoughts or doing certain things?
Exactly. It's kind of wild when you think about it. For example, the source talks about how exposing yourself to bright light in the morning can help suppress melatonin production and boost things like cortisol and nitric oxide.
So it's like sending a signal to your brain that it's time to wake up and get going.
Right. And, you know, I've actually started making a point to get some sunlight first thing in the morning. And I got to say, I do feel more energized.
Me too. I thought it was just me. It's amazing how these small changes can make a difference.
It really is. And speaking of connections, the source also highlights how our physical health can directly impact our brain function.
Right, like what we eat, how much we sleep.
All of it. When we nourish our bodies and prioritize rest, we're creating the optimal environment for our brains to thrive.
It's like giving your brain that premium fuel, right? So it can run at peak performance.
Exactly. But just like a high-performance car needs regular maintenance, so do our brains. The source talks about things like mindfulness and meditation to help calm our minds, reduce stress, and improve focus.
I've been trying out some of those techniques myself. It's like creating space between your thoughts so you can respond to things with more intention instead of just reacting.
It's about training your mind to be more present, more aware, more resilient. And the cool thing is, we can actually train our brains to become more resilient to stress, like build up that mental toughness.
It's like mental weightlifting. So it's not about avoiding challenges. It's about getting better at handling them. But sometimes those challenges just feel so overwhelming, you know, like where do you even start?
Well, one of the key takeaways from the source is to set realistic goals and break them down into smaller, manageable steps. Remember that analogy with the video game?
Oh, yeah, where the early levels are designed to be easy so you can build your skills before facing the bigger challenges.
Right. It's the same with personal growth. Start with small wins, build momentum, and celebrate those successes along the way.
It's about progress, not perfection. That's such an important reminder.
Absolutely. The source really emphasizes consistency and patience. It's about making those small, sustainable changes, knowing that they'll add up over time.
Love that. But sometimes even taking that first step can feel hard. Any advice on like overcoming that inertia and actually getting started?
One of the best tips is to like actually schedule time for those activities that support your goals.
Yeah.
Make it a non-negotiable part of your routine.
So it's about turning those positive choices into habits so you don't have to rely on willpower all the time.
Exactly. It's about designing a life that supports your growth rather than working against it.
I like that. So as we wrap up this deep dive into transformyourlife.pdf, I'm left feeling, well, pretty inspired, actually. There's so much we can do to create a life that feels truly meaningful and fulfilling. It's not about being perfect. It's about making those choices day after day that move us closer to the best version of ourselves.
And remember, the most important step is the one you take today.
That's it for this deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring, keep growing, and keep leveling up your life.